Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It is Austin. Austin Price, BallQuest.com. We still need the Jim Ross call of this.
Austin. So good.
Austin Price. You can follow him on Twitter.
You all know
Austin,
it. You all love
Priceless.
It.
Austin, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I thought today you might mix it up, play a little hell to the chief for me, but I mean, it's okay.
That's next week. We'll put in the rotation.
If you need that request, David Reed can facilitate that for you, Austin. Whatever it takes to get you on the show.
Only on President's Day, though, guys. Only on President's Day.
Okay.
Austin, not that it ultimately matters right now, but are we seeing a little bit of recency bias that Tennessee dropped from 1-5 after losing on the road at the fifth-ranked team in the country, their first loss since November 23rd?
I mean, Pat Forty called the Vols overrated.
Didn't call him overrated. John Calipari, who shut his own crowd up pretty quick when they started chanting that.
Pat Forty called him overrated only 7 days after saying that Rick Barnes needs to be the national coach of the year. I mean, life comes at you fast, boys. It comes at you fast, and it doesn't really matter because Tennessee's gonna play Kentucky again. So if they beat them the second time around, they'll jump right back over them. If they can win Saturday at LSU, that's a real nice quality win against the top 15 team. In my mind, I don't think it really matters. I mean, I think this group got the wake-up call that Rick Barnes has kind of been hoping they would potentially get just because he knows that this team's been, winning with some bad habits. And I think that, this is a good wake-up call for this group, and now they'll get right back up on the horse tomorrow night with Vanderbilt. And then, of course, a big test coming up on Saturday with LSU.
The back portion of their regular season schedule is certainly difficult. They play Vandy tomorrow. You mentioned the game against LSU. When you look around the SEC, though, it certainly has shaped up to be Tennessee, Kentucky, LSU, and then everyone else. Does the game at Ole Miss worry you? Does the game at Auburn worry you? Or are those teams simply a level below that top three, and it's going to be really, really difficult for them to beat a Tennessee, even if it's at home?
Auburn, extremely talented, not lived up to the hype. Ole Miss shoots the lights out. And so if they shoot it well, Kermit Davis' team shoots it well when Tennessee makes the trip to, it's not the Tad Pad anymore, but down to Oxford, then, I mean, it will be a tough game for Tennessee. Both those games could potentially be, kind of stumbling blocks for the Vols. I think they're games that should worry, if you're a Tennessee fan, just because if you don't play the way you're supposed to play, and if those teams knock down shots, especially Ole Miss at home, then I do think that those games could be potential hiccups for Tennessee down the stretch. This game Saturday, though, is huge because, let's say, if you chalk it up and say Tennessee's going to win the rematch at Thompson Bowling with Kentucky, if they can win Saturday, then they can afford to drop a game at Auburn or at Ole Miss and still be the regular season conference champion. So I do think there's some potential stumbling blocks along the way. But that's why you got to hope this team is made of what you thought they were made of to begin the season, and they're going to, rebound off of this loss to Kentucky, especially the way they played. They were getting run out of the gym until 10 minutes ago. Tennessee switched to the zone and clawed their way back before, Rick kind of fouled them into that 17-point, final defeat. I mean, they were about 10 points down, and then they just kept fouling and kept fouling and kept fouling.
How do you think Tennessee responds to this at home against Vanderbilt tomorrow night? Do you think Tennessee fans will see the response they want in this game?
Well, Vanderbilt got Tennessee's attention the first time with how they played them in Nashville. Really should have won that game in Nashville, and they didn't. But Vanderbilt's winless in conference play for a reason. So Tennessee should come in angry. They should come in mad. I look at this game as the scene from Jurassic Park when they lower the cow down into the velociraptor cage. Vanderbilt, in this case, is the cow. Tennessee's the velociraptors. It just kind of is what it is. I mean, that's the way I look at this game. Vanderbilt, since that game, has shown really nothing that makes you feel like they're going to get over the hump. And Tennessee is going to respect Vanderbilt because they did push them and realistically should have beaten them the first time. And Tennessee's mad coming off of Saturday's game with Kentucky. John Calipari, when asked about, you know, why Tennessee, or why did his team play so good against Tennessee, said because they got beat at home Wednesday night against LSU. They were a motivated group. I would think this veteran group of Tennessee Vols are going to be plenty motivated playing a team that, you know, almost got them in Nashville earlier in the year, especially coming off this loss.
Austin Price with us on the Midday 180. Austin, if Barry Odom wants to accuse Tennessee of poaching some of his players, who is Tennessee trying to poach?
You know, that's a good question. I venture to say it's a couple of those upperclassmen linebackers from Missouri. You know, Tennessee's looking for help there. I don't think it's anybody up front along the offensive line. You know, it's one of those things where Tennessee's, you know, people make calls behind the scenes, and I'm not talking about Jeremy Pruitt. I'm just talking about, you know, as long as there's a portal, as long as there's, you know, there's always kind of backdoor tampering. You know, there are people backdoor tampering with some of Tennessee's guys that are looking around. I mean, you know, Tommy Thigpen's been in Knoxville multiple days the last couple of months. And, you know, Austin Smith's been in the portal, or Drew Richmond's been in the portal. I mean, there's, and I know none of those guys are in the portal, but my point, though, is there's always kind of those backdoor phone calls that go on across the country. It's just interesting to see, you know, Barry Odom kind of throw that out there and kind of take, you know, Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee and whoever else on last week. But, I mean, hey, you know, he is going to be defensive of his guys, and rightfully so. His argument's very valid. You will go there. I mean, we just beat them 51-17 last year. Now, granted, you did it with Drew Locke and some really nice key seniors on that team, including Amon Hall. But, you know, realistically, I mean, if you're an upperclassman at Missouri, do you look at Tennessee? I mean, you saw what they had on the field last year. I think if you're going to leave Missouri, you're going to go to a program that you feel like you can win a championship at if you're going to make that move at this point in time.
Well, this is what's weird to me about it. Barry Odom, of all people, should know how the first year at a program can be tough. He was at Missouri for a year, took over, went 4-8, gave up 63 to Butch Jones in year one when he was at Missouri. I don't think that stopped him from recruiting guys Tennessee was recruiting, because he just threw up his hand and said, well, guys, in year one on the job, we gave up 63 points, so you should choose Tennessee. It's an odd comment to make publicly, and one that tends to come back on you. Hypothetically, you know, he was throwing out this, boy, a lot of coaches are going to have a bad day at the SEC meetings when I see them. If he confronts Jeremy Pruitt about this at the SEC meetings, knowing Jeremy Pruitt and how straightforward he is, how do you think he handles that?
I'm told no. There was very little interaction between the two outside of just, a natural greeting when the coaches got together last week. I did talk to somebody that was around, and I specifically said, was this fireworks behind the scenes? And I was told no, that it was, you know, actually, you know, if anything, it was distant and not, you know, something where anybody confronted another.
How was the football recruiting weekend for Tennessee?
Well, Tennessee, it was a light junior day. I mean, it was not, you know, your marquee junior day like you had in January or you're having in 2 weeks on that Kentucky weekend when Tennessee's going to try to have everybody back up again, even the guys they had in January. Let's get them all back in here for this Kentucky. Atmosphere is going to be good. Get them back on campus. Top five matchup again, potentially. You know, this past weekend, Tennessee did pick up a commitment from Dominic Bailey, a four-star defensive tackle from the Baltimore area. Everybody keeps trying to get me to say the DMV, but I'm not going to do it. I'm resisting. It's the Baltimore area. And, you know, he's a young man that, you know, I think it's a nice linchpin to start your class up on up front. Tennessee's got two guys committed along on the defensive side. One is Jordan Davis, a defensive end from Memphis who had to go to the junior college ranks, originally signed with Alabama out of high school. And then the other is Bailey, a four-star defensive tackle. So Tennessee knows where they've got to improve, and that's the spot they're picking early with a couple of defensive linemen in this 2020 class.
Austin Price, you can follow him on Twitter at Austin priceless. Austin, maybe we have Health to the Chief on Friday. Maybe we'll have Jim Ross intro you. We don't know. It's completely up to David Reed, but we do know you'll be back on the show later.
You guys need to get Jim Ross on as a guest and then just have him tape it as live.
Reed is buddies with him. He's interviewed him many a time. We can make that happen.
That's simply outstanding.
Are we talking about that painter with the soft voice? I thought he was dead.
No,
Bob Ross is
here. Bob Ross, yes.
Yeah, I prefer him.
It's your own world. Create whatever you'd like.
I love the show, boys.
Happy little trees.
Thank you, Austin.
The way he just made a tree right in the middle was always weird.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com. Paul, it's your world. Paint your own picture, okay?
Join our active roster and be part of Team Hutton 104.5 and help the fight to end blood cancer. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Tennessee Man and Woman of the Year campaign is the nonprofit's largest annual fundraiser, and all funds raised provide life-saving blood cancer research. Just visit 1045thezone.com and make a tax-deductible donation. Plus, check out Hutton's event calendar, special giveaways, and more. The campaign runs through April 27th, so please donate. Now, make someday today, because beating cancer is in our blood. More info at 1045thezone.com.